order, the Honorable Susan Van Keulen presiding.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday Law and Motion Calendar. We have just one matter on today that needs our attention, so let's go ahead and get underway. Ms. Fanthorpe, if you'll call the matter, please.
Calling case 20-CV-9425, excuse me, Homeless Union et al. Versus Bernal et al. Counsel, please identify yourselves for the record, beginning with the plaintiff.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anthony Prince for plaintiffs.
Mr. Prince.
Good morning. This is Cassie Bronson on behalf of the defendants.
Ms. Bronson, good morning.
Good morning. This is Tony Condotti, city attorney, on behalf of defendants.
And looks like that's everyone. Excellent. And Madam Court Reporter, I'm going to assume you can hear us all. And
yes, Your Honor.
Okay, excellent. All right, we are on today for further status regarding the preliminary injunction. I did receive additional materials from the parties, which I have reviewed. Thank you. We are here, of course, pursuant to the preliminary injunction, which this court issued in January. At that time, we were at the height of the COVID crisis, and I found in evaluating the factors for a preliminary injunction that the plaintiffs had presented a likelihood of success with regards to their constitutional claims arising out of a state-created danger, specifically the closing of San Lorenzo Park at the height of the pandemic and the impact on the homeless population. Having found that, of course, then I moved to the balancing test required under the preliminary injunction analysis and gave very careful consideration to the formidable public health and safety factors at issue, which continue to be at issue and continue to factor in to this court's analysis. Since that time, California as a whole has made progress with regards to the COVID crisis, and the virus has continued to dissipate, and that has, I think, in turn, dissipated to some extent the state-created danger on which had tipped the balance with regards to the preliminary injunction. Along with that as well is the increased accessibility of vaccines, and I appreciate the information provided by the parties, specifically the declaration from the city defendant, but also the efforts recognized by the plaintiffs with regards to making vaccines accessible to the unsheltered population in Santa Cruz. And I note that the publicly available information, the latest information I have from 48 hours ago, shows that the COVID infection rates continue to decline, and perhaps most importantly, the ICU rates also continue to decline. Working through this crisis, that is the COVID crisis, is new territory for science. It is new territory for the municipalities on how to handle that. And it presents many new and challenging issues for the courts. Against that backdrop, the city has now requested that the injunction be dissolved now. And I have given that careful consideration as I say, reaching back to what are the foundations for the injunction and what is the current status of those foundations. I still find that there are many unknowns relating to the current status of the virus and whether or not the unsheltered population is more vulnerable to the virus if it is evicted from San Lorenzo Park or not. Very helpfully, the city has proposed an alternative approach, or perhaps I should call it an interim approach, which requests a modification of the injunction and a application that involves moving a significant portion of the population to the benchlands and clearing out and cleaning up of San Lorenzo Park, as well as some guidelines, rules, and regulations for the unsheltered population to continue to reside in the benchlands for some period of time. I've given this very careful consideration and review, and I am inclined to modify the injunction now. I'm not yet prepared to dissolve it, but I am inclined to modify it, largely along the lines proposed by the city. And then to have the parties come back to me in not more than 30 days to further assess the status at that time. There are some specific portions, I think, with regards to the proposed modifications that I certainly have some questions on, but I think we can, and I do want to look at those specifically. But overall, that is the approach and where I am inclined to go today. So with that in mind, Mr. Prince, let me start with you as the plaintiff. With regards to any comments or concerns or argument for or against that approach. And then Ms. Bronson, I'll turn to you. Mr. Prince.
Thank you, Your Honor. Look, as we indicated before, we're in general agreement with modifying the current order along the lines that you've indicated, Judge. And you ordered us to meet and confer on some specifics, which we did. I think we made some progress. Not on everything, however. So we're in general agreement that it is appropriate at this time to modify it along the lines you've indicated. It's a relocation, and it's not really a disbanding of the camp. So I think it's still consistent with CDC guidelines as far as leaving encampments intact and not removing people. I also, some of our concerns is that the time, well, you just indicated that you're looking at another status conference, not any further out than 30 days, if I understood you correctly. One of the concerns we have is it appears to us that the city kind of backed off from the time frame, its original time frame, 30 days after everyone had either been vaccinated or had an opportunity to be vaccinated. It seems now, if I'm understanding their proposal, that modified injunction would be lifted when the city enters, rather the county enters, the yellow tier. We have a concern about that because I think as Dr. Kofor indicated in her declaration and as I summarized in our updated status report, that we're not out of this yet, as Dr. Newell of the County Health Department. Just yesterday, Rochelle Walensky of the whole national CDC indicated that they're increasingly concerned about a surge across the country. And of course, in California, we've got this variant now specifically identified by Dr. Newell in Santa Cruz County. You know, we've gone back and forth on these tiers in Santa Cruz County. At one point, the Santa Cruz County was in the orange tier, and then it returned to the red tier. And that's kind of consistent with a lot of counties, but in Santa Cruz County, we've been kind of back and forth with these tiers as ebbs and flows in the virus. And we're looking, as I say, according to CDC and Dr. Newell, who has indicated vigilance must be kept. And as I have reported every status conference, and as the documents indicate, the CDC's guidelines are unchanged. So we feel that would apply to the how long the benchlands encampment would remain in place, the guidance is, I just read this morning, once again, with Dr. Walensky's statement, they have again, as of yesterday, reaffirmed the guidance with regard to encampments that's been in place since March of last year, one full year, despite the vaccinations moving forward, despite the, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. They nevertheless have kept that in place, and for the precise reason of avoiding community spread and separation of homeless people from services that they're now receiving. So that's right, one concern. Chris,
with that in mind, as I say, that I'm considering the city's proposal as an interim measure without dissolving the injunction outright at this time. Yeah. And as to its termination, we'll address that when we move to the specific comments in just a moment. So it sounds like from the plaintiff's perspective, and you are correct, this was generally indicated in your papers, that you acknowledge that the interim proposal, there are some provisions I appreciate you have some issues with, but overall, in concept, you're not opposed to that at this time.
Yeah, that's correct, Your Honor. The only thing that gives us additional concern, I didn't really address it too much in my report, is that I file the modifications, additions, and strikeouts to the city's original proposal. Mm-hmm. I think it was the original proposal. And we're concerned about due process in that part of the modified injunction, which would largely empower the city to remove people where appropriate. We kind of spelled out in some detail how we would be able to be at least part of the process, because we think it would run more smoothly. You'd have some modicum of due process, a pre-eviction, if you want to call it that, opportunity to have some kind of hearing. We negotiated such an arrangement with the city of Salinas 6 years ago, and it's worked relatively well since then, that there is a pre-deprivation, pre-eviction hearing right there in the location where people are sought to be removed from. This is all pre-COVID. So we think it's even more appropriate now. That would be the other concern we have. But again, that is no bar, generally speaking, to our general agreement with the city's proposal and how you're characterizing it, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Prince. Ms. Bronson?
Hey, good morning. You know, I think from the city's perspective, the most important thing to really make this plan potentially feasible is really having the clear legal ability to remove people from areas that are not the benchlands. We would anticipate, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Santa Cruz, but this is a very central location. It's a highly desirable location. And, you know, people come from not just the city, from the county, from different parts of the state, and even from different parts of the country. Once, you know, the news gets out that camping is allowed in this location. So the city doesn't have the ability to, on its own, solve the homelessness crisis throughout the whole country. And we cannot just, you know, open our park to any and every person who would want to come. So it really needs to be a defined number of campsites and zero tolerance really for any camping outside of the, you know, the benchlands footprint. We don't have that. We anticipate that, you know, we'll keep on seeing the same problems, and it will even grow even more so, because at that point the benchlands would be full, very full. I mean, we crammed 122 spaces into that site, appropriate with spacing.
I was going to say, planned carefully.
Planned and appropriate with spacing, but we, you know, we took a big effort to really try to fit as many people as we could in there. And so, you know, if we don't have the ability to promptly remove people from other parts, it's just not going to work, and it's going to be even worse than it is now, we would anticipate. So that's our biggest concern. And, you know, as for due process issues with leaving the encampment and that sort of thing, that's not something that's standard that I'm aware of within, you know, the sheltering system or other managed camps. And, you know, our position would be that there's no fundamental right to be able to sleep in a city park. It's the city's park, and that, you know, due process considerations are not really at play because there's no fundamental right here. So that would be the city's position. Tony, I don't know if you have anything you want to add.
Thank you, Ms. Bronson.
Judge?
Excuse me, Mr. Prince.
Okay.
Mr. Condotti, did you have anything to add today?
No, I think Ms. Bronson summed it up very well.
Thank you. Mr. Prince?
Yes, Your Honor, I have to say, I think, first of all, what counsel is attempting to do here, what the city is attempting to do here, is kind of bootstrap a general ban on homeless people in the city of Santa Cruz. That's well outside the scope of the preliminary injunction. And I think that the representation that, well, they're coming in from all over the place, and we, if we're going to have the bench lands, have the president and cabinet at the park relocate to the bench lands, that we have to be able to get these other homeless out of town. We feel that's highly inappropriate, for the city to now seek an order which would essentially provide a vague and overbroad and facially, I think, unconstitutional measure that is outside the scope of the preliminary injunction and is something that the city already has various tools to deal with. In fact, Your Honor, the city has already enacted what they call the temporary outdoor living ordinance, which already addresses some of the aspects of outdoor camping in the city.
Your Honor, this
Stop. No one speaks until the court says they can. Thank you. Mr. Prince, I'm going to interject here because I do not see in the proposal before the court at all a general ban against unsheltered populations by the city of Santa Cruz. That is not what the interim proposal reflects. And further, the evidence before this court that has been offered by the city at each phase of these proceedings has demonstrated an extraordinary effort by the city of Santa Cruz to accommodate and house its unsheltered population. An extraordinary effort during the most difficult of situation and times. And I take us back to the increases in beds and arrangements made during the COVID crisis in an attempt to address this. So I think that there may be issues that you foresee with regards to activities that the city of Santa Cruz may or may not engage in, but those are down the road, perhaps, and they are not currently before the court. So what we're going to do now is turn to the proposed order, and I'm going to tell you which changes, where I have questions, I will ask counsel for input, and which changes I am inclined to make. So the first, and again, I'm actually reading off of the red line because I found that helpful to look at, which is document 44-1, which is the red line that was proffered by the plaintiffs. But I have the full, the city's version here in front of me as well, which is at document 46. And it is document 46 that we'll turn to when we get to the code of conduct. So let me begin with the proposed order. It's misnumbered in document 44-1 as 1. It actually is 2. Number 1, which is just a single sentence, somehow got deleted, but that will stay. Number 1 is the city may choose to relocate campers to the benchlands as set out in more detail below. Number 2, if the city chooses to relocate campers to the benchlands, the city shall, and that is where I pick up. Plaintiff, Mr. Prince, you have suggested adding language there on rather than remaining at San Lorenzo Park, and I am not inclined to include that. Again, overall, my approach at this point is to, I'm not going to, it's not before this court to instruct the city on how to run a homeless encampment on a day-to-day basis. The issue here is setting up or adjusting, moving out of San Lorenzo Park under the benchlands to continue to provide a place for the unsheltered population, at least some of it, in these days and in the current status of the COVID pandemic. That section, what is now section number, where it is section number two, has subparagraphs A, B, and C, and the parties seem largely in agreement, or seem to be in agreement on the language there. That's fine. That brings us to paragraph C, which is termination. And there I'm going to adjust the language. I'm not going to adopt the injunction dissolves when the county moves tiers at this time. I think that a better approach will be that the individuals who have a permit can remain in the benchlands in their designated campsite until such date as either the injunction is dissolved or the parties reach an agreement resolving the litigation, whichever is first. So the terminating events will be dissolution of the injunction or a settlement of the litigation. And I put this specific time at the end, but just so you know, as I say, I'm going to have you back here on, we'll come back on April 27th at 9:30 a.m. For further review of the injunction if the parties have not resolved it at that time. For C, there we go. Yeah, so I'm not adopting either the plaintiff's language or the defendant's language. That brings us to what should properly be numbered subsection 3, which is if the city chooses to require campers to relocate to the benchlands, the city may, and I'm looking at subparagraph A, which is what to do with the people who are currently in the benchlands so that the city can get in there and get these 122 sites appropriately designated. And my question there is, how many are we talking about? Are people currently in the benchlands? Is it just a few? Is it a largely populated area? Ms. Bronson, I'll start with you, if you know, and Mr. Prince, I'll circle back to you.
Last I heard, I've heard numbers between 20 and 40. So I'm just getting a text that there's 20 right now. So that's the latest information that I have.
Hold on just a second. Let me look at the language here. And the city's proposal is to require those who are currently encamped in the benchlands. The language got cut off. Let me look at that. City's language may require those who are currently camped in the benchlands to relocate for the purpose of allowing the city to set up. Okay.
Where?
All right. Then what I'm going to do there, what I'm inclined to do there, and Mr. Prince, I will hear from you, but is to simply adjust or amend paragraph A that the city may relocate those currently in the benchland so it can implement this plan and require those who are currently encamped in the benchlands to relocate into the park. I know that's not desirable. We don't want more people in the park, but if we're talking 20 people, if they want to, they can move into the park. The city can get the benchland set up, and then the permit process will come underway. Just while that is getting that put in place. Ms. Bronson, do you have any... timeline? Do you have any estimate of time that once people vacate the benchlands, how long will it take the city to get it ready?
I wish I did. At this time, I'm not sure. I think it's not going to be, you know, it's really just about demarcating the spaces. There's not all that much to do. So I would guess a few days. But I don't have that clearly from
okay. It may take some cleanup and then some preparation, and maybe your sources can help inform you on that. Let me turn, I'll come back to it. Let me turn to you, Mr. Prince. That's what I'm inclined to do with subparagraph A is if there's approximately 20 people currently in the benchlands, they can stay in the park, but we are going to clear that area out so the city can get in there and get it ready for this larger population.
The only thing I would say, Your Honor, two things on that is that the benchlands, I think the numbers that council gave are probably accurate. It's a somewhat fluctuating number. More and more people are becoming homeless in the city of Santa Cruz, and there's no real housing being provided, so they're going to various places, including the benchlands. But it sounds like having them relocate into the park while the benchlands are being prepared is a reasonable approach to it. I will point out the benchlands is a big area. The encampment is being set up in a relatively small portion of a rather long stretch of territory down the river. So I'm not opposed to them relocating back into the park, but just in terms of make the court aware of the fact that it may be possible for them to remain in the benchlands while the encampment itself is set up. But I understand the order, and that part of the order, and I agree with it.
Yeah, we're going to keep, we're treating them as separate geographies at the moment, so that, again, it's very clear. And so the city has clear guidance as to what they can do, which is very important. Which is they can require people to leave the benchlands. They can go to the park if they want to, but they must leave the benchlands so the city can get it set up and prepared, and then engage in the permitting process that's outlined here, if that's the structure that the city wants to implement for the 122 encampments in the benchlands. And then the park will be closed to the unsheltered population camping, or I guess it's closed for camping in its entirety. Ms. Bronson?
And then, so my sources, thank you for giving them a little bit of time. They're estimating about 2 weeks to prepare the benchlands.
That sounds a little more likely.
I was being a little optimistic.
From the people who actually have to roll up their sleeves and get it done. Okay. And I appreciate, you know, the city is motivated to get it done. So I'm comfortable with that, because the sooner the city has the benchlands prepared, then the sooner the park can be cleaned up. Okay, that takes care of 3, subsection A. Subsection B is creating a permit process, which, again, I think that the city's approach at this time, and keeping in mind this is an interim approach, is reasonable, and I'm not inclined to adopt the proposed changes by the plaintiffs. Similarly, in paragraph, subparagraph C, 3C, again, in light of this as an interim approach, this is a modification to the injunction. I'm inclined to let it proceed as the city has designed, and then to not adopt the plaintiff's proposed changes at this time. I do expect that the parties will continue to meet and confer. You've made progress, and that's been good, and I do appreciate the efforts on both sides that have taken place. I would expect those efforts to continue, perhaps in anticipation of settling the litigation in the next 30 days or coming to terms with regards to if there is going to be a continuing encampment at the benchlands. And that brings us to D3D, that the city may... E3E, which is the city may enlist assistance from a third party. And again, I will not adopt the proposed change by the plaintiffs. If the city wants to work with a third party, they can do so. That brings us to section 4 of the proposed modified injunction, which allows the city to take certain steps with regards to the benchland, specifically to enforce municipal code section 13.08.100, which the city did provide. It is attached to the proposed injunction, and I think that that is appropriate. With regards to without adopting the proposed language from the plaintiff. Similarly, with section subsection B, I think that that is also appropriate without adopting the plaintiff's language. Now, it may be, Mr. Prince, that from the plaintiff's perspective, some of these rights that have been proposed do ensure constitutional rights to which the plaintiffs are entitled, and you can address that. If the parties are unable to come to an agreement, you can address that before our next session. You can give me the appropriate law, and we can I'll take argument on that if it is necessary. But on the materials presented to the court thus far, I am not convinced that any of these provisions are. I'm not convinced that any of these provisions violate any of the plaintiff's constitutional rights. Obviously, I wouldn't keep them in the injunction if I did. And at this juncture, given the work that the city has done in putting together this interim proposal, it is my inclination to let the city manage this process as it deems appropriate, that is, manage the housing of the unsheltered population in the benchlands as it deems appropriate. And as because that allows the objectives of the injunction, which is that a significant portion of the unsheltered population is able to stay in a community while these, what we can only hope are the waning days of the pandemic, play out. But we shall see. That brings us to subsection 5 of the proposal, which again leads to the termination language. And as I said, what we will do is reconvene on April 27th. I'll receive statements from the parties on April 20th. And that those statements, they may be separate statements, and that should address whether the injunction should be dissolved or modified further, and will depend largely on facts, where we are with regards to the COVID pandemic, and the continuing vaccination accessibility at that time. And I do want to hear from the city in the statement on the 20th, the status at that time of accessibility of vaccinations for the unsheltered population, whether the efforts that have been outlined for today's proceedings are continuing, or perhaps they've come to an end, perhaps they've been accelerated, but whatever that is, that will be important, and I will want to know that. I also should acknowledge that the city did provide the other thing I requested, which was meteorological information with regards to the suitability of the benchlands for camping, for an encampment at this time of year, specifically addressing the likelihood of flooding. And I did find that to be very reassuring. Frankly, that's a very limited and unlikely threat at this time. So thank you for that. Okay, let's turn to the code of conduct. I have some questions around that. That is incorporated into the proposed language of the modified injunction. And it is quite a list of do's and don'ts. I do appreciate, I guess it's down to one page. So let me tell you where I have questions, and then Ms. Bronson, I'll hear from you, and then I'll hear from you, Mr. Prince. With regards to the Code of Conduct, Section 1 relates to COVID protocols. Those all appear to be very standard. We have all gotten very used to those in our everyday, so I don't see any problem there. Section 2 provides as follows. All campers must adhere to park rules and regulations, including, and then there's a list of specific regulations, A through H. And my first question, Ms. Bronson, is that referring to some established set of rules? So enlighten me, please.
Yes, and I believe every single one of these rules is connected to the municipal code in some way. Generally, smoking, alcohol, littering, these are not things that are allowed in our public parks.
So my question actually was specifically to smoking. Does the Santa Cruz Municipal Code prohibit smoking in a public park?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. I'd like you to get confirmation of that.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Is there anti-homeless ordinance? The other provisions there in A through H certainly look like things that I have seen on park signs and regulations going into various city and county parks. But I would like confirmation on that smoking per se. The other question I had is, or the other comment is under the following section 3, which is the following behaviors are not allowed. I think as we discussed, a number of these come out of issues that the city has had with regards to the unsheltered population in the park. They may not relate to specific rules or regulations. And the violence and vandalism, okay. The section F about non-compliance with local, state, or federal laws, that's quite broad and vague, and I'm not inclined to include that. I understand why someone may have thought it was a good statement to include, but under the strictures of an injunction, giving full and fair notice to everyone, I think that is too much of a reach. And then section 4 relates specifically to campers' possessions with regards to we're keeping the campsite neat, tidy, and safe. So it really is the smoking ban and 3F. Smoking ban, I have a question on, and then 3F, I'm not inclined to include. Ms. Bronson, did you want to be heard on the 3F issue, or I'll turn to Mr. Prince at this time?
Your Honor, may I address the smoking question?
Yes, Mr. Pandati. Thank you.
Thank you. Under 6.04061, sub S. Smoking is prohibited on the municipal wharf, parks, beaches, recreational trails, including all their adjacent landscape and beach areas, and all other outdoor recreational areas, unless a portion of such facility is designated by a Parks and Recreation Department posting as an area where smoking is permitted.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you very much, Mr. Condotti.
It's not been done anywhere that I'm aware
of. All right, Mr. Prince, Code of Conduct.
Well, let's start with the last item first. And could I ask if Mr. Condotti could repeat the municipal code section a little slower?
Oh, sure. For the smoking ban?
Yeah. Could you do that, Tony?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, sure thing. It's section 6.04.060, then the number 1 in parens, sub S, as in Sam.
Okay, got it. So with regard to that, it sounds like the code does allow for the establishment of a section of a park to be so designated. I would strongly urge the court to consider that we have, it would be a discrete, compact area that we're talking about. We do have a lot of people in the community there that do smoke. I'm not an endorser of smoking, obviously, but it is a habit. And the fact that the city does recognize that under certain circumstances it's permissible, I think so long as people respect the prohibition in other parts of the benchlands and other parts of San Lorenzo Park, that it's reasonable to, and so long as the smoking doesn't present an immediate risk of substantial risk of harm or, you know, that type of thing, that it ought to be permitted.
All right. Take that under consideration. Thank you.
And then with regard to the other portions of the code of conduct, I just have to say that I'm fine with it. Adherence to park rules, so long as they're, and again, perhaps this is beyond what the court is has in front of it, so long as it's consistent, because I've been to many parks and many public spaces throughout the city of Santa Cruz, and I can tell you that a lot of these rules are not routinely enforced, but when it comes to the homeless, they seem to be singled out for very strict enforcement. So we would be, if the court's not inclined to, and it's too much of an involved process to go through them one by one, but I'm just kind of putting up a little red flag that we would be looking for a disproportionate and selective enforcement of those rules, because we've observed that repeatedly over the years. And then finally, one more thing.
Say the least.
You know, and just in terms of, again, if I understand what the court is saying with regard to some of our concerns about due process, I wanted to respond to what Attorney Bronson said. And even in and what I understood the court to say, if there's constitutional issues, we can go ahead and brief those and make that part of our submission due April 20th. It's a question of how much process is due, if any. And I think just some blanket approach of you have absolutely no rights whatsoever with regard to enforcement of any aspect of municipal law, state law, that's a remarkable statement to make. But we'll look at that, and that will be part of our submission.
And the parties continuing meet and confer efforts. I expect the parties to... now that there's a framework, there'll be a modified injunction in front of you. The next step would be to I want the parties to at least meet and confer with regards to an overall settlement that would resolve the litigation. You've got the framework of the modified injunction, and you can discuss what that might look like, if at all, going forward, and address these other concerns. And that would be an appropriate place, it would seem, for a discussion around any the due process rights to which you have referred, Mr. Prince.
Just one question on that, Your Honor. I'm down here in Los Angeles visiting my mom for the first time in a year. And so Ms. Bronson and I were able to meet and confer by video. You said either video or in person, by pulling up to a McDonald's, which was closed, but I still was able to use their internet access. But I was on the road. Is it permissible for counsel and I to meet and confer by phone and email, just move the process forward, not necessarily have to be on Zoom, because Zoom can be an issue. Phone's much better. Or are you going to require all the meet and confer to be on video? I just want to make sure we have some flexibility there.
Well, my preference for doing it live or in COVID times by Zoom is it's very easy to fire off emails, and the parties in this action have no hesitancy in firing off emails. And I don't think that that is a constructive way to move the process forward. If you want to have a conversation, and that doesn't mean nothing gets exchanged by email. Obviously, it can be helpful to send some information and drafts. And then if you want to have a conversation by phone and that enables you to have it, I will allow that. But there needs to be communication. Let me be very clear.
who needs to be painted.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Bronson, response to the request for a designated smoking area in the Benchlands, or anything else that we've touched on in this last round?
You know, I need to confer with my client about that. I'm checking to see if they have opinions, and I haven't received word from them.
I can offer a comment from the Parks and Rec Director, Your Honor, is that the city does not have a designated smoking area in any of its city parks. So the code authorizes that, but it's not permitted in any city park or on the beach or on the municipal wharf.
Well, and this is a, I am mindful that this is an area where people are living. So I have taken plaintiff's request under consideration, and I'm going to obviously make some edits to the proposed order from the city, including the code of conduct, as I've indicated. All right. We have made progress. So the preliminary injunction, as I say, will be modified and will proceed in some. It allows for the relocation of a significant portion of the unsheltered population from San Lorenzo Park to the Benchlands in campsites designated by the city and under the rules and regulations set forth by the city, to give the city the ability to enforce its rules, laws, codes, laws, rules, and regulations as to that area. And as that move takes place, then the city, once that move has taken place, the city can reinstate its order as it relates just to San Lorenzo Park, and that is to evict remaining unsheltered population from the park and clean the park up. So that's where we're moving, and then we will continue to consider and evaluate the COVID situation and its impact as an underpinning to the preliminary injunction. And as I say, we will meet again on the 27th of March, of April at 9:30 for further discussion as to the status of the injunction at that time. And I'll take statements from the parties on the 20th. Oh, yes, Mr. Cantati.
Could I ask, will the court be issuing an amended order consistent with the information that you've indicated today, or are you asking the parties to prepare that?
I will issue a modified preliminary injunction. It will largely reflect the proposed order from the city, as I discussed, with the additional information. So I think everyone, it looks like there's been a lot of hard work and effort put into this, and I appreciate it, and I'll take it from here, but I will issue an order so that it's clear.
Very well.
Mr. Prince from plaintiffs, anything further for today?
Well, just the only thing I would, again, not to wail on this too strongly, but again, I understand what Mr. Condotti is representing, that it's not permissible, but it does say that it can be made, it can be, it's permissible, even though perhaps they've made a determination. I haven't had a chance to check that out. It's my experience is that that rule is not enforced in most of the parks. Beach areas, simply not enforced, almost unenforceable. But the city does have the authority and ability, and in this circumstance, to deprive the Benchland campers of whatever, you know, they smoke, whatever, would be very difficult because, you know, for many of them, that's, I don't agree with the lifestyle necessarily, but that's part of their, you know. And the only other thing, Your Honor, is with regard to the, I have one other thing. Well, I guess the rest of the things we'll make a real good faith effort to work out and confer. I think there's some points that you're telling us to, and I think we can make a good faith effort to work things out.
Thank you, Mr. Prince. I appreciate that. Ms. Bronson, anything further for the defendants?
Just to reiterate, the important part is the ability to be able to clear the upper park area. And after I sent along the proposed order, in the proposed order, it identifies certain laws that could be used for that purpose, specifically our curfew at the park that we have and also prohibitions against public nuisances. After I sent the order, I also identified Penal Code Section 602K, which is entering the lands, whether enclosed or unenclosed, by a fence for the purpose of injuring the property or property rights, and with the intention of injuring any lawful business carried on by the owner of land. That's another section I found after I sent along the order, so I'd ask the court to take a look at that also for potential inclusion within our proposed order.
All right, Ms. Bronson, why section, file it on ECF, supplement to proposed order, and I will take a look at it. Let's include the municipal code with regards to the smoking ban as well.
And you just literally want the text of those laws?
Yes, a pleading cover sheet. The title of the pleading can be supplemental material, request supplemental material to proposed order, and those two texts. I don't want any argument. Just attach the smoking municipal code that addresses smoking, including the section on designated area, as well as the 602K, the penal code section that you've just referenced.
A judge?
Yes, Mr. Prince.
Again, without filing anything that has any argument, could we also, if we find that there's, you know how it is in a totality of a municipal code, to see things in context or some countervailing or some conditional, would we, not to send you everything there is in the world, but if we discover something that the court should also take into consideration, are we also permitted to file that?
You may.
Okay, thank you.
I will give you permission to do that. No argument. It is a pleading cover page. With if there is a relevant section, you may attach that. I would recommend highlighting because I also know sometimes the municipal codes can be quite dense on any given page. So whatever it is you want me to see, draw a circle around it or highlight it. No argument. You may put relevant codes in front of me. I caution both sides. I am not reading Santa Cruz Municipal Code. So it's got to be something that is very specific to the issues we've discussed. All right? I think that's understood. Resist. More is not better. Trust me. All right. Parties will have 24-hour, till close of business tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Close the business tomorrow on the 31st to get those additional materials in. Thank you. And then I will, I do want to get a modified injunction out promptly.
Okay.
All right, then. Thank you very much. As always, I appreciate counsel's preparation and focus on the issues that are before the court that helps us to continue to make progress on this challenging issue. Thank you very much. And that concludes this matter. We're adjourned.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.